I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
America is a divided nation. We can't seem to agree on anything. Who should be the next president? Should healthcare be universal? Does pineapple belong on pizza? But there is one thing we can all agree on.
Yeah, you know, this definitely unites America over the frustration that comes with filing your taxes.
We have less than a week until tax returns are due. And personal finance columnist Michelle Singletary's inbox is flooded with people looking for last-minute tax advice. This stuff can be confusing and overwhelming. We don't all have CPAs and financial advisors to help us out.
Because the tax code is so complicated and you have to get all these documents together, we just think, oh, I'd rather go to the dentist and have a root canal.
That's very fair. Yeah, I do think a root canal in total is like actually less painful than this process.
Yeah, because you get Novocaine.
Yeah, exactly.
You get numbed.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Elahe Izadi. It's Tuesday, April 9th. Today, if you haven't filed your taxes yet, don't panic. We're here to help. And if you have filed, Michelle has some smart advice on what to do with your refund or how to manage any taxes you might owe. Michelle spoke to my co-host, Martine Powers, and they started by talking about people who have not filed yet.
At this point in the tax season, most people probably owe, or they're not quite sure if they owe. Because if you're going to get a refund, many people have already filed their tax return. So the group of people there now are the procrastinators. People fear the IRS so much so that if they have a problem, they can't pay, they're not understanding something, they don't want to call, and they don't do anything. They don't file. There's so many options. There's so many groups that will help you file if you can't afford to pay for something. The number one reason why people's returns get kicked back or get held up is actually math errors and entering, you know, the wrong numbers. You're putting in your social security number and you transpose numbers. So just be careful as you enter the information. And the best way to do that is to file electronically. The programs that they use now will catch a lot of things that you might have missed that would contribute to your tax return being held up by the IRS.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask more about that because even thinking back to Super Bowl Sunday, right? Like that's when the ads start for all these different companies that are like, we'll do your taxes. It'll be so easy and so cheap. And I understand that the IRS has a way to file directly with them now in a way that's easier maybe than ever before. Can you describe this like direct file thing and what people need to know about this and who this applies to? This like do it directly online with the government?
Yeah, it's a pilot program that the IRS is testing out this tax season. So not everybody can do it, but people in 12 states. And it's very simple tax returns. If you itemize, you can't use this. So it's people are taking the standard deduction. And it's a way for them to test to see if they could have a truly free way for people to file their taxes directly with the IRS. And so far, the program is working pretty well. One of our columnists, tech columnists, wrote a column about how easy it was. And I can't use it, but I went as far as I could. And I thought it was very well done. It was very easy to understand, you know, who qualifies. The hope is that is if it's successful enough, it would be expanded to other states, perhaps all of them by next tax season. But if it works, it would be tremendously helpful for a lot of taxpayers who pay $50, $100, $200 to do your taxes. So it could be a good savings for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's an option that people should definitely be looking into if they know, like, my taxes are extremely simple and, you know, this is going to be a breezy process.
That's right.
But I think that a lot of us are not in that situation where our taxes are not simple and we have kind of looming questions that feel existential about, like, wait, what do we do here? What does this mean? Michelle, obviously, as a financial columnist, you have spent so much time over the years answering questions from readers about their kind of specific financial predicaments. And I wanted to talk about a few of the more recent questions that have been particularly memorable that you have been answering. The first one comes from a person who signed Curious Guy, which I love that because I am also curious about this guy and his taxes. And Curious Guy asked, would you recommend a payment plan for someone who has to pay the government back? And are there any pros and cons to doing this?
Yeah, so what he's talking about is that if you file your taxes and you find that you owe the government, but you don't have the money, how do you pay the IRS? Because they have a powerful way to collect their money. And I absolutely do recommend a payment plan. They have a short payment plan where maybe about 90 days, and then they have one where you can take as long as 5 years. And you can actually apply for this right on IRS.gov.
So basically, if you go in and they're like, you actually owe us $3,000. And you're like, wait, I do not have $3,000 sitting around in cash. Like, you can automatically start a process of being like, listen, you're not going to get it right now, but here's what I can do to start paying you your money.
That's right. You fill out the information and you kind of negotiate with the IRS about how much you can pay. Obviously, if you can't pay $500, don't agree to $500. But it's a pretty easy process. And so there is a fee, but it's fairly reasonable to set up the long-term payment plan. And I would just, that's the best thing, because the thing about IRS debt is that there is interest on this and it's compounded daily.
Daily.
That's right. Because what happens is people owe the IRS and they go, well, I'm just not going to file. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So people don't file and they owe. At least file your return, because there is a failure to file penalty. Obviously, you don't want that failure to file penalty. But also, if the IRS sees that you tried, that you filed, and that you're struggling and things are happening, they're going to be more reasonable with you. Instead of you not filing for years on end, and then you expect them to work with you. They will still work with you, but you know, you want to have some grace with them. So I keep saying this because people don't believe me, but go to the IRS, call them or go to their website, and they can help you figure out which program works best to help you get into compliance and get on a plan to pay off your debt. You know, I work with one woman and she had not paid her taxes, and I think she owed the federal government like $25,000. And she's like, just scared to death to call them. I set her down next to my desk. She was in my home. And I said, let's call them right now. And within 15 minutes, she had a payment plan in place and it was affordable. And she was in an apartment. So I said, move in with your sister so you can pay off that debt even sooner. And she did it and she paid it off. It would have taken her 5 years, but she paid it off in like 2 years. And here's the other part of that story. She was applying for a federal job and they look at your credit history
records
and things like that. And had she not had that payment plan in place, she would have not gotten that job. She did get the job because they could see that she had a payment plan in place. She was trying to own up to her debt, and that made a difference. And then, you know, 2 years later, she moved out. She got her own place. Everything was fine.
This is an incredibly inspiring story. It also reminds me how every time I talk to you, Michelle, I feel like the advice you give is often just like advice that takes years to internalize in therapy, which is like, sometimes you just need to confront the problem and make a phone call and speak directly to a person about your problem. And actually, it usually makes it a lot better.
It does make it a lot better. And what I don't want people to do around tax time, you'll get scam calls, you'll see these commercials, they make these promises. Like, say you got $10,000 in debt or $20,000 in IRS debt. So you want a shortcut to get rid of that debt. But just think about that. That usually is not the answer. These companies will charge you thousands of dollars. I helped another individual who was also deeply in debt with the IRS. And he called one of these places. And fortunately, I caught him in the 3-day window where you can cancel the contract. It would have cost him close to $9,000. It was $8,000 to $9,000. And the interest rate was over 20%.
Oh my gosh.
All that money could have gone to his debt. And yeah. I said, that's insane. And so I said, call the IRS. They were about to take this man's house. He saved his house and he got on a payment plan and they worked with him and he saved almost $9,000. You know, wow. That he's going to pay to another company that he could do himself.
Yeah. This is great advice, Michelle. I want to bring in another question from a listener, but this one came from your hotline. You have a call-in hotline. First of all, I feel like we need to talk about that. Like, tell me about the hotline and, like, where people can be calling you directly to get you to, like, hold their hand through these things in the way that you've done in this, like, life-changing form for other people.
That's too funny. I have a call-in line, and it's 1-855-ASK-POST. And obviously, the letters correspond to numbers. And so people call in, and I obviously can't call back everybody, but we use the call-ins for either I write a column about it or talk about it on Post Reports or in my newsletter that I have for the Post to answer people's questions.
And it informs, like, well, your sense of where people's heads are at and the kinds of questions that are coming up for people as they're dealing with this. So let's listen to a message that someone left you on the hotline recently with their tax question.
Good afternoon, Michelle. I'm calling for my older sister who is taking care of my youngest sister who has dementia. My youngest sister has gotten 5 different letters from the IRS. My older sister thinks that she owes these people. And I want to know what we do to find out how much she owes, whether she has to pay it if she has dementia, or whether we have to pay it if she doesn't have enough money. Talk to you soon. Bye.
I think a lot of people can relate to this in terms of caring for family members, especially as they get older and deal with their finances. So tell me about the advice that you have for this reader.
First of all, I'm really sorry what they are going through. I know that's a tough situation. I hate to tell them this because it's like more money. But they're going to have to figure out a way that they can be appointed as a representative for her to talk to the IRS. There's a process that they have to go through to get the authority because right now the IRS isn't going to talk to them because they don't know that she's sick. They need proof, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so the best thing is to call the IRS. And they could also, in this case, get help from the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, VITA program. And they can help them walk through what they need to do to get the authority to contact the IRS on their sister's behalf to find out what's going on. And if the sister owes money, there probably a revenue officer has been taking the case and they can say, listen, my sister's sick. What do I need to do while she's, you know, not able to handle her affairs?
Mm-hmm. So it still comes back to this idea of, like, talk to the IRS directly. And even if you're not yet in a position to be able to, like, have that authority to kind of act on behalf of your family member, that you can at least, like, get them to explain to you, here are the steps that you need to go through to have that authority and also explain to them, like, here's why we might not be able to figure this out between now and the tax deadline, but, like, I'm, you know, clearly here trying to work on it and find a solution and act on behalf of my family.
That's right. But calling the IRS and at least alerting them so they can put something in their sister's file so they don't move against any of her assets or anything. Because right now, the IRS has no clue what's going on, right? I know people fear that, but how will they know unless you call?
Great advice.
After the break, Martine asks Michelle about her very strong anti-tax refund stance. We'll be right back.
I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
There's always more to the story. I'm Leanne Caldwell, anchor of Washington Post Live. Each week, we bring you inside conversations between the newsroom and the people we cover, from global leaders enacting change to cutting-edge artists redefining our culture. And we make you and your questions part of every conversation. Listen to Washington Post Live wherever you get your podcasts and watch on demand at WashingtonPostLive.com.
So, Michelle, now I want to talk about something that is my favorite part of tax season, which is when I get this money back from my tax refund. My understanding is that you are not a fan of refunds, which I think would be confusing to people because, obviously, free money. What's not to like?
Yeah. When I say I hate refunds, people are like, what? That woman is crazy. No, but think about this. Unless your tax situation changes from year to year, you get married, you have a child, you buy a home, you are basically giving the government your money throughout the year for them to give it back to you with no interest. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound too cool to me. And so what happens is people are so afraid of owing the IRS, or they use the refund as a forced savings program.
I mean, that's definitely how I use it, where I'm like, yes, I know it's an interest-free loan to the government, but like, otherwise, who knows what stupid thing I'm going to spend that money on? So I might as well let them have it so that when I get it back a few months later, I'm like, oh, wow, like, here's a little money that I can use to, you know, actually do something meaningful with.
And I see how that can make sense. I do. But, you know, think about it in a couple ways. So if you're carrying credit card debt, which I know you're not, because if you read my column, you're not carrying no credit card debt. But let's just say you are.
In the very, like, outside scenario where maybe someone might have a little bit of credit card debt.
So let's say you're carrying some, not you, but somebody out there is carrying credit card debt.
That's and it's fictional at, character.
Yeah, the average credit card interest rate now is over 20%. So throughout the year, that debt is rolling from month to month with a 20% interest attached to it, right? And so all along, the federal government is holding money that you could be using to pay down that debt. Or let's just say the stock market, although it's been, you know, up and down a little crazy, but in the last, you know, year, it has recovered and been doing really well. So you could be taking that money and investing it. And instead of it sitting in the government with no interest, it could be in the market getting a return. I mean, right now, the last time I checked, the average refund was about $3,100. $3,000, you know, that's a lot of money that's out there for a year that you could be using. Now, I recognize that people are like, I do not care what she says. I like this money every April. Shut up. So, okay. So, I get it. But when you do get that refund, just make sure that you have something in place to use it to your advantage.
Like a plan. Like, don't just be like, ooh.
Right. Now let me take that spring break trip, right. You know, perhaps you don't have that emergency fund that you keep wanting to have. You know, and we've talked about this before on the show. I really want people to be more proactive in how they handle their money. I get that you want that check, but what if you put your big girl panties on and you say, I am going to be a good money manager and take control over this thing and not let it just happen to me, right? Because that's really what's happening. You're like, I'm just going to let it happen that the government gives me back my money. And that's why I say what I say.
Well, Michelle, before we wrap up, I want to do like a little lightning round of just a couple other scenarios that I think some people might be running into right now. I think a lot of people have side hustles these days, obviously, in which they are being paid through some kind of mobile app like Venmo or Cash App or PayPal or what have you. it can be really confusing about how these payments are supposed to factor into taxes. And also, like, it's just on your phone. And so, like, does the government really need to know about it? And for people who have some kind of, like, job where, you know, people are Venmoing you, like, $60 or $70 here and there for some kind of work that you're doing, what is your advice on how you should approach this?
So my advice is what the IRS says, what the law says. If you're making some money, you got to tell the IRS. So all you, the money, all income that you make, except for some very small exceptions, you have to report to the IRS. So that $50, you know, you do somebody's nails or somebody's hair or you know, rake leaves or deliver food, that money is supposed to be reported on your tax return. And soon, I think it's next year, they keep moving it. If you work for yourself on the side gig and you get paid on one of those apps, Cash App, Venmo, whatever, they're going to have to send that information to the IRS. Right now, the threshold is pretty big. Like, you have to make, you know, a little bit of dough. But that doesn't matter, because even if they don't send you a 1099 now, you, like, say you work for someone, they're supposed to give it to you. They didn't. You're still supposed to tell the IRS that you made that money.
Well, and I feel like that dovetails with where I wanted to get next, which is gambling winnings. You know, with March Madness just wrapping up, I think people were putting their money on the teams that they were excited about. And so, like, is that supposed to be something that you talk about with the IRS?
Yep. They want to know if it's an office pool or one of the new betting sites. You know, lots of states now just legalize, you know, sports betting. They want to know every dollar that you made, actually every penny. All your gambling winnings is reportable income.
Now, and, I know, and how do you do that? Is there like a W-2 for
yeah,
I
you
won
know,
the
there's
office
a
pool?
Form that you can fill out. There is a block on your return for every kind of income you can earn, because the IRS, they have a block for it. You're like, oh, they don't have it on the form. Oh, no, they got something on the form for you to report. But my mantra, I have like life mantras, and one of them is don't mess with the IRS. So listen, I have gotten a couple letters. Oh, let me tell you this story. This is so funny. I don't know if we have time. So I used to have a TV show. The company that produced the show, you know, would send me my 1099s. I reported to the IRS. So one year, they got me mixed up with a superstar. I'm not even going to tell you who she is, but let's just say she's very famous. They mixed our files up, and I got the 1099 that was intended for her. Very famous woman, very famous singer. It was like for $25,000. So the IRS sends a letter. You know, my husband mostly takes care of the taxes. So I was like, so did you earn some money you ain't telling me about, dude? <You know? laughs> And I did some sleuthing and realized that's what happened. So I was able to straighten it out fairly quickly. But my heart stopped, because they were like, you owe us like $12,000. I was like, I mean, I was, for a whole day, I was just like, oh, God, they're going to come get my car, you know? And so the moral of that story was that you have to take action. And I have to tell you, the people I work with at the IRS, they were quite helpful and quite pleasant.
It was genuinely surprising. Not the reputation that the IRS has developed, but very encouraging. So I have one last question for people who are listening to this. Like, I'm imagining you're like in your car the night of April 14th. You're like, oh my God, I completely forgot. I think in that scenario, it sounds like requesting an extension might be in your cards. Can you just explain very briefly how that works and why that should be an option instead of just being like, well, I guess I won't get to it this year. Let's try next year.
Right. You know, the brilliance of the following extension is that you don't have to give them any excuse. You don't have to say I was trifling and I didn't do it, or, you know, I was in the hospital. No explanation necessary. But here's the caveat. If you haven't filed your taxes and you are unsure whether you're going to have to owe or get a refund, you want to file for an extension. But if you suspect that you owe, and this is where it sounds kind of crazy, right? Because you have to kind of do your taxes to know what you owe. You still have to pay on time. The extension is just an extension to file your return. But the benefit is of filing for the extension is at least you don't get that failure to file penalty if you end up owing the IRS.
Yeah, yeah. Very helpful to understand. Michelle, thank you so much for walking me through all of this. I think people are going to find this very comforting and a good pep talk for, like, sometimes you just have to pick up the phone and make the call and, like, deal with the problem. And if you do that, everything will be better after that.
That's right. That's right. Just call. Call the IRS and don't mess with the IRS.
Michelle Singletary is a personal finance columnist for The Post. She spoke to my co-host, Martine Powers. If you still have a question about your taxes, you can call Michelle's hotline at 1-855-ASK-POST. That's 1-855-275-7678. Also, be sure to check out Michelle's column, The Color of Money. Chances are she has answered a question just like the one you have.
The IRS has a system where they're getting out W-2s, they're getting 1099, and they match it up to what you report on your tax return. Like if you run, I don't know, a daycare, but you're going to like Europe every year, they're like, now who watching the kids? It doesn't match up to what your business thing is. So, yeah. But you know, they're not gonna pull mine because I spend no money. They be like, she don't even buy no paper clips. I sure don't. <You know? laughs>
That's it for Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's episode was produced by Charla Freeland. It was mixed by Sean Carter and edited by Maggie Penman with help from Ted Muldoon. I'm Elahe Izadi. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, The Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from The Washington Post wherever you listen.